WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. The Broadway revivals of Guys and Dolls and The Most Happy Fella revived interest in the late songwriter Frank Lesser. Now we can learn more about him in a new biography written by his daughter Susan Lesser. It's called A Most Remarkable Fella. Susan is a freelance writer living in New Jersey. This is her first book. She's Frank Lesser's oldest child, born during his first marriage when he was living in Hollywood, writing songs for the movies. Before we meet Susan, let's hear Frank Lesser sing from the recently released CD of his demo recordings. This is Fugue for Tin Horns, which he wrote for Guys and Dolls.
I got the horse right here, her name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do, if he says the horse can do, can do, can do.
Are you crazy? I'm picking Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him.
Susan Lesser, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Until recently, when your father's work was revived, were you ever frustrated that he hadn't been given his due?
Yes, I felt that it was too bad that people knew his music. In fact, you know, when I first started to write the book, I was one of my working titles was "He Wrote That Too."
Yes, exactly. Sure, there's a good chance to just like list a lot of the songs that he wrote that we would say he wrote that too.
Baby, it's cold outside. I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Roger Young. What are you doing New Year's Eve? Spring will be a little late this year. Standing on the corner. Big D. I believe in you. Wonderful Copenhagen. Once in love with Amy. Make a miracle. Fugue for Tin Horns. Luck be a lady. Sit down, you're rocking the boat. Adelaide's Lament, which is probably known as a poison can develop a cold.
let me add to this, Two Sleepy People.
Two Sleepy People, right. Heart and Soul. Well, it just goes on and on. There are some funny, obscure ones, too. There's a song he wrote called I Get the Neck of the Chicken, and I Like Humpbacked Salmon.
I love some of the stories of Frank Lesser working with singers. Tell us a little bit about the audition for Guys and Dolls and what he had the singers do as they auditioned.
Oh, he had them yell for help, and they wouldn't understand what he meant. And he'd say, "Yell help!" That's what I mean. He wanted to hear how loud they were. His motto was "Loud is good." He wanted the audience to hear every word and every note from every seat in the house, and he wanted no embellishments. He wanted his music sung note for note and loud.
In the movie version of Guys and Dolls, Frank Sinatra played the role of Nathan Detroit, and your father, the composer Frank Lesser, did not like what Sinatra was doing with Lesser's songs.
No, he didn't.
Why didn't he like it?
Well, Nathan Detroit is a very rough character, a Broadway character, and the original Nathan, Sam Levine, couldn't sing. He only had one song, Sue Me, and he came in wrong all the time on the first note, so my father had to write him a four-bar phrase, call a lawyer, and if you listen to it, I will not sing it. it slides up to the correct note to come in on. That was how bad Sam sang, but he was also brilliant and wonderful and rough and tough and Runyon-esque, whereas Frank Sinatra was very smooth and crooned his songs. And in fact, Goldwyn had my father write three more songs for Nathan in the movie, for Frank Sinatra. And my father would listen to Sinatra rehearse and would become angrier and angrier. And finally, they had it out, and my father kind of met his match with Frank Sinatra, who exploded about the same way my father did, both of them screaming words that I won't say on the radio. As it ended, Frank Sinatra, of course, performed the songs his way, and they never spoke again. They would see each other at parties and walk in separate directions. They would not speak.
You know what I think is interesting? If your father was so committed to big, loud singing, it's sure not the kind of singing he seemed to do himself, judging from the album of demo records that was recently released.
Well, I wonder if that's because they had to clean them up. They were very fuzzy.
Uh-huh.
He was definitely loud.
Uh-huh.
He performed with great gusto.
Did your father sing around the house a lot?
He sang when he was working on something. More often he played the piano,
mm-hmm.
working on songs. But yes, he sang too, and he and my mother worked out songs together. There are some wonderful old recordings of them singing Baby It's Cold Outside and Make a Miracle from Where's Charlie?
Yeah, it's interesting. You write about how Baby It's Cold Outside used to be your parents' song, and they would sing
yes.
it at parties together until it was actually used in a film.
Right. And my mother adored that, because they would go to parties, and after the first time they sang the song, they were in great demand because it was such a wonderful, fun song, and they had such a good time singing it together, and they were very good performers of it. And so my mother felt it was her claim to fame at that time to perform this song at parties, and when he sold it to MGM for a movie called Neptune's Daughter with Esther Williams and Ricardo Montalban, it broke my mother's heart. She was very upset about losing the song. But then it won an Academy Award, so it made up for it.
After hearing your father sing on that Evening With album,
mm-hmm.
I assumed he was from an immigrant family of Jews in New York, probably Brooklyn, maybe Manhattan, probably the first in his family to finish school. And after reading your book, I found out this was not his background at all. Yeah, tell us what his background really was.
My father's father was a music teacher, a Prussian, who was very fearsome and very an intellectual snob, as was my father's mother, as was his half-brother, Arthur. My father came from a family of intellectuals, musicologists, and people who felt that the route that my father chose to go was very low class and very unappealing. They were amused by him, and they didn't think much of him most of his life.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Susan Lesser. She's just written a biography of her father, the songwriter Frank Lesser, and he wrote the scores for Guys and Dolls, Most Happy Fella. And those are two shows that recently got revived on Broadway. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back. This is Fresh Air. Susan Lesser is my guest, and she's written a biography of her father, the songwriter Frank Lesser. Your life must have really changed dramatically when you were 12 and 13. That's when you moved to New York from Hollywood.
Yes.
Your father's show, Most Happy Fella, opened on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during that show that he fell in love with his second wife, Jo Sullivan.
Right.
And left your mother. And your mother was actually involved in introducing Jo Sullivan to Frank Lesser.
My mother did a lot of the casting for The Most Happy Fella. She was co-producer with Kermit Bloomgarden. And when she heard Jo sing, she said, boy, this is a voice. This is a voice and a personality Frank would just love. So she sent Jo to audition for my father, sealing her fate. It was a very hard time for everybody. My brother and I were uprooted from our California suburban lifestyle and brought to New York City. We had visited but never lived here. I went to a new school. I was living with my mother. We were both, my brother and I, living with our mother and nurse in an apartment situation. We at first stayed with friends and then moved to a small apartment. My mother was not happy and was drinking more and more, and I had never lived in such close quarters with her before, and that was when I began to see that she had big problems. Everything changed for all of us. My father was living across Central Park in an apartment of his own and having his affair with Joe. And everybody was, he wasn't real happy either. It was a time full of turmoil. Although for him, I think it was mitigated a great deal by the great success of The Most Happy Fella. I think, you know, for him, that show was so important. He wrote not only the music and the lyrics, but he wrote the book, and he was involved day to day with every aspect of it, to Joe Anthony, the director's great consternation. My father attempted to direct it as well.
Well, you write that when your father left your mother, when your mother was 40, that your mother lost her man, her lifestyle, and her status.
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever recover from that?
No, she never did. She never did. She used to say that my father fired her because she had worked for him for so long. And that was all very funny and clever, but she never recovered. She never was reemployed by anyone. She tried to make it on her own as a producer. She had flop after flop. And eventually, she had terrible health problems, which were exacerbated by her drinking. And she died lonely and alone. It was a very sad life. She rejected the friends who didn't reject her in the beginning. The people who stayed with her, she one by one rejected them, threw them away, and was a very lonely, bitter person.
When you were growing up and still living in the same house with your father, did you ever eavesdrop on him while he was writing a song?
Well, I didn't really have to eavesdrop. He had a little organ in his room, and I would stop there on my way down to breakfast because he was a very early riser, and he would already be deep at work. But I didn't see it as work. I didn't know what he was doing. He would be playing a phrase over and over again on the organ, and then he would get up and pace for a while, and then he'd sit in his chair and smoke 7 or 8 cigarettes and drink some more coffee and get up and play some more music. And I'd say, "What are you doing?" And he'd say, "I'm working."
Right.
And, you know, that was another one of those surreal mysteries to me.
Is there any song that you feel particularly a part of because you were either with him while he was writing it, or you heard it ringing through the house, or he told you about it, or...
Well, you know, actually, there are 3 songs. Thumbelina was one that he used to sing to me when he was working on the Hans Christian Andersen score.
This is the one that had the lyric, "Thumbelina dance, Thumbelina sing."
Right. And he used to sing it to me, and I adored it. I was transfixed. I was 7 years old, I think. And he one day said, "Oh, I can write that. I can write that junk anytime. That's just a piece of junk, that song." And I was horrified to hear that. I couldn't believe it because it had meant so much to me. And then, you know, it was nominated for an Academy Award. It lost to High Noon. But so
what a weird competition.
Yes.
Thumbelina versus High Noon.
Really. And then I remember him working on "Standing on the Corner," which is one of the few.
That's from Most Happy Fella.
Yes, and it's one of the few songs that stand alone from the Most Happy Fella that became popular hits. And I remember that phrase, the first phrase, over and over and over again. It must have been weeks, probably wasn't. It was probably a couple of days, but it seemed like the living room was ringing with the first 2 bars of "Standing on the Corner" for most of my 10th year or whatever it was, because it took him 5 years to write that show, so I don't know at what point he was writing it, but anyway. But the third song, that I think the song of his that means the most to me, is a very small, short song in Guys and Dolls, and it's called "My Time of Day," and it's a poem. It's an ode to New York at 4 in the morning, when the street lamps light the gutter with gold. It was a song that Skye Masterson sings to Sarah Brown, and it really characterizes my father. I think that he liked that song the best in that show, and I to me that song is my father.
Well, Susan Lesser, it's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for talking with us. Susan Lesser has written a biography of her father, Frank Lesser. It's called A Most Remarkable Fella. This is Fresh Air.